Well, thank you again for Emma and Nigel for worship. We hope to be able to open the classrooms up for an Easter service. Let's trust that we can do that. We will inform you in due time. Welcome back. We've been looking in Ephesians 6, verse 10, looking at the spiritual armour or the believer's armour so that we can be ready and equipped for warfare. Let me just read it afresh so that we can get it into our hearts and our spirits. I know I've been preaching on this or ministering on this scripture for a few weeks now, but I do believe that it's important to know the truth because the truth will set us free. Amen. Let's read it. First, starting from verse 10 in Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, your struggle, is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, Paul says, I've told you all these things. I've told you who our adversary is, who the enemy is. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all those things that we've got on, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Then in verse 17 it says, for our portion of scripture today, take the helmet of salvation. So put the helmet of salvation on, in other words. So Paul has given us this image of a soldier, an image of his protection, an image of her protection. If you've been in the military, you'll understand this, that you are given certain things to wear for certain operations. When you're going into battle, into combat, you're to wear your full armor. I'm sure, aren't you? You're to wear everything that's been provided. The boots, the armor that goes around the chest and the waist, the right trousers, the right hat, so that when the enemy comes, you are fully prepared. In Isaiah 59 verse 17, it says this. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. Here's a picture here of the Lord, our Savior and King. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. We're talking today about our head being protected. And the first thing I'm sure that you think about is your mind. That's what you think with. Paul is saying, you know, as scripture says and reminds us, as a man thinks, so he is, to remind us as Christians to protect our heads, to protect our thoughts. In 1 John 3 verse 8, it says this, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Scripture tells us time and time again that the devil comes to rob, to steal, to destroy, but God has come to build up and to edify and to set free, and this is where salvation comes. Death was overcome by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where he appeared to destroy the devil's work. So for you and I, we need to put on salvation. We need to wear it like a helmet so that we can be fully protected. In Luke 3, starting at verse 1, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, it goes on and talks about Pontius Pilate was the governor, and it goes on and it names different people. And in verse 2, it says, during the high priesthood of Ananias and Cephas. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, make straight the paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain will be made low, every crooked road shall become straight, every rough way smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. Now, when we read that portion of scripture, what's being said here is this. This happened in this time in history, and it talks about who was in leadership at that time. Salvation isn't just Christians putting their faith in faith itself. Salvation isn't just something that we've plucked out of the air. When we receive the forgiveness of our sins, then salvation comes in and inhabits us. And it's a real thing. For us as Christians, we put our trust in what Christ has done. Yes? Amen? So we're talking about putting salvation on as a helmet, understanding. And we're also being told here that the enemy will come in to attack those that very thoughts. Did God really say? That's the first thing the devil said to humanity, isn't it? Did God really say? Did God really say that you will never lose your salvation? Did God really say that you're one with him through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Did God really say that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? There is no forgiveness. There is no one righteous, no, not one. But through the gift of grace, you can receive salvation. You can be saved by the penalty that you deserve. You can be saved from that. And you can enter life instead of death. Did God really say that? See, we need to protect our minds, don't we? Because it's times of frailty. It's times, should I say, that when we stumble or when we walk straight into sinful situations, that the devil comes along and he starts to attack our minds. He starts to get you to question yourself. Because there's times that we can be our own worst enemy, isn't there? There's battles are won and lost in the mind. There's so many times that we think a certain way because we're thinking about what other people are thinking about us instead of knowing what God says about us. So one of the ways, church, one of the ways, Christian, that we protect ourselves by putting on that helmet of salvation is to believe what God says about us. To believe what God says about us and wear it as salvation, as that helmet. Every crooked road shall become straight, every rough way smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. All people will see the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But sadly, not all people will accept it. In Acts 17, starting at verse 16 and going on through a few verses, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Read this portion of scripture in Acts. It's very interesting in what Paul says and what he reveals to us. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both the Jews and God-fearing Greeks. He used his mind and he got others to use their minds too, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. When you get into a debate, you start to use your mind and other people use their minds and they start to question back and forth. For the Christian, we are to use our minds, but we're to protect our minds too. We're to know the truth and let the truth set us free. They would say things like this. What is this babbler trying to say? They would mock him. And Paul went on to say this. Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting to us. They want to understand with their intellect. They want to know the truth. You are bringing. some strange ideas to our ears. We've not heard this before. And we would like to know what they mean. Let me just pause here. They want to know. These were intellectual people. They want to know what it was Paul was bringing, this new strange teaching. They'd never heard it before. The same as you and I when we first heard the gospel. Have you ever heard of that saying that says, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was deaf, but now I hear. For me, as a non-Christian, I was one of those people who thought, you know, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person that do occasional bad things. And then I was told that actually I'm a bad person that maybe do occasional good things. I'd never heard the gospel. It was a strange teaching to me because I didn't have eyes to see or ears to hear. And then when I was at the age of 30, I heard the message of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ for the first time in a church setting. First time I'd ever heard it. And it was as if this preacher was speaking to me and I needed to make a response. Will you accept Christ as your Saviour and Lord? Will you acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Saviour? If so, then respond. And my hand went up because for the first time I could see and the first time I could hear. God was speaking directly into my heart through my mind. I needed to reason this. What is this man talking about? What is this babbler going on about? I didn't think those thoughts, but these people did. What is it this man's trying to say to me? He's talking to me. He's saying that I'm sinful, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life. What does he mean by that? I can have an eternal resting place. I'm feeling okay. I'm fit. I'm fine. We have this life and then there's nothing afterwards. And he started to speak into my mind, yes, or to my mind, yes, but also to my heart, that I needed to be right with God. That's where the breastplate of righteousness comes from. I didn't need to understand that I was a soldier in his army. I needed to understand that I was a sinner in need of a saviour. And suddenly I could see. That's what's happening here with Paul. That in verse 22, Paul then stood up in the meeting and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are in every way, you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. So, you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you." See, we need to have our mind protected because we know the truth. We know the truth because we've accepted the truth. But the enemy will always, always try and put you on the defensive. He will always try and unfoot you. He will always try and penetrate your heart. He will always try and wound your head. He will always try to defeat you. But we Christians need to be fully assured that we are more than conquerors because Jesus has already won the battle for us. The enemy will try to defeat us, but we've overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. These are things that we need to have stored up. We need to read and understand and store them up. We need to be able to speak and to be silent. We need to be able to stand and stand strong. And the way we do that, Paul says, is to make sure that salvation is a covering for our heads. God's word is truth, isn't it? Amen. Let's continue to look at a few more scriptures. In 2 Timothy 1, 7 says this, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love and self-discipline." The Spirit God has given us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love and self-discipline. One of the ways that we put on that helmet of salvation is to be disciplined in God's word. To know who we are and what God says about us. So when the enemy comes in and tries to rob and steal, we can come straight back. We're going to be looking another time at the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But we need to know what we know is true, don't we? So that when the devil comes, we'll have an answer. That when the devil comes, we will not be pushed around. When the devil comes, that we can stand and stand firm. Remember what we've been saying. We don't need to go and look for the war. The war is all around us. The enemy is all around us. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And one of the ways we resist him is by knowing the word of God. One of the ways we resist him is by putting on that helmet of salvation, knowing that we're right with God, knowing what we have the shoes of the readiness of the gospel, the good news, knowing that we have the belt of truth. Amen? Amen. Let's continue with our scripture in Romans. Romans 12, starting at verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what this implies is this, that God wants us to put on a new self, doesn't he? He's given us a new mind. We have entered the new covenant. We have been born again. We've been made new with him. So there used to be ways that we thought. There used to be things that we would do. But when Christ came into our hearts, he compelled us to put on the new self, not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed, completely transformed, like the caterpillar to the butterfly, I guess. It's a transformation. We've been made new. Be transformed by, glad you asked, the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. God's given us a new mind. We don't have to stay in the old. We've been given the new. But we need to protect it, because the enemy's after it. So we've been given the weapons in which to stand with, the weapons in which to fight with, the weapons in which to acknowledge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Ephesians 2 verse 8 it says this, for it is by grace that you have been saved. Is that word saved or salvation? It comes through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but it's a gift from God. We have that shield of faith. God has given us faith as a gift, but we need to receive it. We've been given grace. We don't deserve it. It's undeserved favor. And salvation comes in to us as a gift as we receive it. But the enemy will come to try and rob that from you. Did God really say? It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, but a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. Listen, the enemy will say you need to earn your salvation. You need to work harder. You need to give more. You need to be more gracious. Yes, the Bible does say that we need to be changed, going from glory to glory. But when the devil comes, he's subtle, because he just does not remind you of the things that you have done. He'll remind you constantly of the things you haven't done. And then at that point, if you keep listening to his voice, you won't be able to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, and you'll be convinced that you're not good enough. You'll be convinced that you don't have salvation. I know over the years I've ministered with people who have said, I've lost my faith. Well, if your faith is in yourself, it's easy to lose. But if your faith is in Christ Jesus, it's easy to find, isn't it? But the devil will always come to test us. The devil will always come to accuse us. And this is where we need to have that salvation on. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. So that we always have an answer. We can always wear that protection. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, it says this, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we are alive or dead, in other words, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You know, For those that die in Christ, they'll be raised with Christ. For those that are alive when Christ comes back, we'll be raised up with him. So whether we're asleep or whether we're awake, we're to encourage one another. And that's another way, friends, that we can assure that the devil doesn't come and inhabit our minds, by constantly being a source of encouragement one to another. To say, if God is for you, who can be against you? No weapon forged against you will prosper. Why? Because you have the full armor of God. So Christian, believer, put it on. Believe that you are who God has called you to be. Yes, I am a cheerleader for the church. Yes, I am someone that wants to speak the truth in love. Yes, I am somebody that has fallen, but God has picked me up. Yes, I get it wrong, but God puts me on straight street. Whenever the devil comes to accuse me, I know who I am, and I want you to know who you are too. You're a child of the living God. You are more than conquerors. The devil has been defeated. Resist him. Resist him, and he will flee from you. Know what the word says about you, and don't let the enemy rob you or attack you. In John 8:31, it says this: to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Friend, if you hold to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know the truth, and that will be buckled around your waist, and that truth will set you free. Without the truth, you won't be able to wear salvation. That's the truth. The enemy will try and rob, but if you put on the full armor, he won't be able to succeed. Amen? Amen. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent, our body, we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built of human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. Don't we know that? I'm 60, and when I start to do things that I used to do when I was 40, I didn't groan, but now I ache and I groan. I can understand longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. What are we clothed with? We're clothed with righteousness. When we're in the heavenly dwelling, when we come before the Lord on that day, we will be found righteous because we have the right clothes on. That's what Paul's saying here. The Bible talks about it from cover to cover, talks about the righteousness that we have through faith in the Messiah, through faith in the one who is to come, through faith in the one who has come and who will come back again. We're to be clothed. Will not be found naked, for while we are in this tent, in this body, we will groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So whenever the enemy comes to accuse you, put up the shield of faith so the fiery arrow will not penetrate. Whenever the missile gets through and it tries to penetrate your mind, be reminded that God's given you the Spirit of truth as a deposit. So whenever you feel weary with well-doing, whenever you feel unsure of your salvation, know that the Holy Spirit will always bring you reassurance, because he's been given you as a deposit. He lives in you. Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you to convict and to convince and enable you to know the truth, that there's more to come. If you've been given a deposit, that means the fullness is to come. The fullness will come when we're clothed in heavenly places. God has given us an armor to wear while we're here, so that we can stand and stand firm, because we are a victorious people, aren't we? Yes, we are. Amen to that. In Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Just to back up what my human words just said, The Spirit himself, the Spirit is a person. That's God comes to live within us. He's given us a measure of the Holy Spirit, hasn't he? He's given us a deposit, a small amount of what is to come. So when the devil comes to lie and bring accusations, we know because we have that salvation on that we're saved and we belong to him because we are his child. We can say with confidence, Abba, Father. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 31 and 32 and 33. As for God, his ways are perfect. See, the Bible says that his ways are greater than our ways. His thoughts greater than our thoughts. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who takes refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? Verse 33, it is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Verse 34, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. 36, you, Lord, make your saving help my shield. You make my saving help my shield. You help, your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. There's an image here, there's a picture here of a strength and a guarding and a girding and an underpinning and a strengthening and an equipping, isn't there? That's in 2 Samuel. David understands who God is. He understands through the good, the bad and the ugly things that he has done in his life. He understands the saving grace of God, the salvation that comes by putting trust in his creator. It's the same for me and you. And David, if you read the Psalms, if you read all about David's story, you'll understand the torment that was around him, that would swirl around him like as if he was drowning and going underneath in the seaweed wrapping around his head. At that point, he called out to the Lord, it says in the Psalms, and the Lord answered him. We need to think, Christian. We don't have blind faith. We put our faith in a living, active creator God, don't we? We understand that we need to reason things. We need to be intellectual at times, but we also need to be men and women of faith that will trust in the evidence that God has given us. Remember what God says about this creation of ours. No one is without excuse. You only have to open your eyes in the morning and look around, and there you see a creator God. So let's be a church that will put on the helmet of salvation. I'll leave you with this scripture in Mark 8, verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Then he must be killed, talking about Jesus here, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly in 32 about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Who did Peter rebuke? Jesus. He started to rebuke the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In verse 33, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said, for you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. If it's not of faith, it's not of God, is what the Bible teaches us. There are times that we think about things that have nothing to do with kingdom living, isn't there? And it's at those times when we have the human concerns that the enemy tries to penetrate. It's at those times that we have human concerns that the enemy actually penetrates. But we've been given the weapons of warfare, the spiritual weapons, not to fight each other, but to fight the devil himself and his hordes and his minions. We've been given a helmet of salvation. so that we can meditate on God's word. M-E-I-A. Look at what God's word said. Meditate on it and enable God's word to be that protection to you. As a Christian today, can I leave you with this? Let's start to think more clearly about heavenly things. Let's have our mind set on him, and that protection will be there on a permanent basis. So put on the belt, put on the breastplate, put on the shoes, take up the shield, put on the helmet, and let's stand victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for the amen. We thank you for the let it be so. Father, I pray for us as a church that we would be strengthened and encouraged through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray for us as a church, every man, woman and child, that you would speak to us afresh in revelation and reveal to us the things you want to reveal to us. I pray for us as a church, for all those that the enemy has lied to over this past week and said, who do you think you are? You're not a child of God. That they will know that they're a child of God. And they'll put on that helmet of salvation. They'll keep it on. That they've been saved. That even though they stumble and fall, God won't let them go. So Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We ask you to protect us and enable us to stand and stand strong. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.